Welcome to The Other Discovery Show, the podcast that's about all of the other things that we've discovered throughout the week. I'm Kirk.
And I'm Zach.
And I found an article today that talks about Argentina's robbery of the century.
Robbery of the century. I like it already.
There's so many layers to this story. There was this robbery that occurred at a bank. There's four suspects that are on trial right now in regards to this robbery. They stole $8 million in valuables and cash, and then they escaped on a boat despite being surrounded by over 200 police. I'm not sure about the context of how they got away with all of that other stuff.
Were the police on land?
That's what it was.
Oh, no, they're in the water. Oh. We can't get them. If only we had boats.
Foiled again by water.
But this is the part that I love. During the robbery, robbers ordered pizza, soft drinks, and soft drinks for the hostages. They sang happy birthday to a female lawyer that it was her birthday, and they left behind toy guns. The robbers also left a whimsical note saying that they stole just money, not love.
Wait. So did they rob with toy guns? Is that what that's saying? Like they,
yes.
It was, they used fake guns commit an $8 million robbery.
Yeah.
I'm liking it so far. I'm really liking it.
And it's just, it's a crazy story. We'll have the link in the show notes. There's witnesses that are including bank officials, employees, hostages, police, crime technicians, and experts. And of course, they've pleaded innocent of all the charges. Because they're like, they're fake guns.
That will not hold up.
I don't think that'll hold up. They took jewelry, precious stones, and metals from safety deposit boxes and then forced the bank's manager and head teller to open the main vault and stole Argentine pesos and U.S. dollars.
Yeah, I think there's literally like laws specifically about robbing banks so that you can't loophole it by saying it wasn't armed robbery, I was lying. You know, because if you walk into a bank and say, I have a gun, give me all the money, they will, but you just committed armed robbery. And they didn't want it to be like, oh, I didn't actually have a gun, though. I think it's, you can't loophole that. You can't get out. So, yeah, that's wild. And wait, so they did catch him, though. Because
they did catch him.
Just not at the time.
Just not at the time.
They escaped for a while. So I was watching, I can't remember what video I was watching. We watch music videos a lot. And I think it might have been Ben Folds. And I was just amazed. I always loved piano singer-songwriters. And then I started to think about what a piano is. Like what it actually is. It's literally a bunch of hammers hitting strings inside of it. And you push buttons to make the hammer hit the string. So it's
I remember
like,
learning that as a kid and it was blowing my mind.
Yeah, it's a mix of like a percussion instrument and a stringed instrument. And it's its own thing. And I was like, how do you start to develop this instrument? How do you make a piano? How do you ever get there? And so I literally just looked it up and I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever.
Because it's just.
It looks like a harp laying down inside a box.
Yes. And I mean, that is the thing. It was very iterative. So that's what I figured out is essentially it wasn't. We had nothing, anything like this. And then we had a piano. There was a bunch of innovations that got to where it is. But it started out with essentially there was a bunch of stringed instruments called like dulcimers and. For like since medieval time, there was stringed instruments that you could hammer, you know, like essentially hit stringed instruments. And so that was where the beginning of it was just those stringed instruments. And then people started trying to think, how can we like automate the hammering part of it? And so you had, I think it was clavichord or something. There was a couple random different instruments that tried to do this. It tried to have keys and things like that. They tried to figure out a way to start making a piano, but it wasn't until the 1700s that it got close to what it is today. It was in Italy, and it was originally called the forte piano. And I think it wasn't as hard of a name at the time. It was more just kind of like a general, they were just generally calling it. It wasn't, he made up this specific name. But we use it a lot now because it separates what like a modern piano is from this type of piano. And so it was not anywhere near sophisticated. I think that it was much more muted as far as the sound and everything, but it kind of looks like a piano. It was the beginnings of a piano. And one of the main things that was, I guess, really, I guess, innovative at the time was that you could adjust how hard you were hammering. You know, you could, based on how hard you were touching the key, it would affect how much sound was coming out. And that was new for the time. That was a special thing. And I there was a couple interesting things here in that we don't know for sure who invented the piano. We have this idea of the 1700s and this guy that we think invented the piano because his, like, there was pianos there. You know, he had some in his inventory, and we know that. And then after that, he got kind of popular because somebody wrote a piece about this. They wrote a piece about, oh, here's this crazy piano, and it can be the future of music and things like that. And so people started to start paying attention to it. He showed this to Bach, and Bach did not like it.
Oh,
which
really?
Is, yeah, which is funny. That's because ironic. Yeah, because he became later proficient at the piano. Well, he piano probably man. Always was. Yeah, he did sing Piano Man. Wasn't he the original writer of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he didn't like it, but neither did Mozart. And Mozart was one of the people who, he was one of the, like, era changes. So there was, like, forte piano, and then it switched to, like, Mozart era piano, and then there's modern pianos. And so Mozart brought in a lot more innovation on essentially, like, making the sound richer and, like, stronger. I think that's also when they came up with the sustain pedal so that you could, like, hold a note for a really long time. But yeah, basically there's been a bunch of different innovations on something that was, just like you said, they kind of took the idea of a harp and figured out how they could have buttons that hit the harp strings for them.
They should have just called it a button harp.
I kind of like button harp. Although that sounds like an electronic harp, which I still am, I'm not convinced that wouldn't work.
Button harp.
Just instead of, like, up and down, it's just like a line. It's like a keytar that just goes in one direction.
I'll start calling pianos button harps from now on.
You should call them button harps.
Everyone look at me like I'm a really special person.
Yeah, they probably would. They'd be like, that reference is weird and lost on me. But we did get a new call this week that we want to share with everybody. And it is from our special PDS movie correspondent.
Our esteemed in-the-field correspondent for movies and now TV shows. And all things.
Yeah, his name is Keith. And so we're about to play you some of that.
Hey, boys, what's up? It is KG, your movie correspondent, who, much like the rest of the world, apparently doesn't know how to keep track of time or anything or dates or anything, because it's been a long time since I called in for you guys. And well, I figured I'd go ahead and give you a call now and just see how you guys are doing. Also, you know, obviously not a lot of new movies coming to theaters. I did see the new Trolls movie, like a lot of people did. It's what it is, Trolls. They sing. If you're into that, you're into that. I've been rewatching a lot of older things. Recently watched Tom Hanks' classic Big, so I'll recommend that to people. I also recommend Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Probably going to watch Bogus Journey here in the next couple days as well. A lot of people, though, you know, I'm normally supposed to be the movie correspondent, but if you don't mind, I'll dip in here and just let you know, a lot of good TV out there. I recommend a few things. I think you guys will like Letterkenny. It's over on Hulu. That's a very funny Canadian show. Schitt's Creek over on Netflix is very funny. I think you guys will dig that as well. If you're looking for something on the more serious side and maybe finding people that are just maybe the worst of the worst of people and make you think that the rest of the world actually isn't as horrible as it is. You've watched Succession on HBO, where there's not a single likable character, but you're still going to watch just to see what happens to these jackalopes. That's the term I'll use. You guys are a clean show. Anyway, movie/TV correspondent. Sorry I haven't called in sooner. Keep up the good work on the YouTube and everything, and talk to you guys later. Bye.
Yeah, thanks so much, Keith.
Keith, my man.
So many things there. Yes, Big is an amazing movie. Bill and Ted, also amazing.
I've never watched Bill and Ted.
It's good. It's goofy, but yeah. It's good. You know, it's one of those.
You know what I've been watching with my daughter? It's another classic like that. Is we've been going through the Back to the Future. And the first two are really good. Yep. I remember the third one being iffy. We just started it again. But we'll see. We just started it, so.
I haven't seen the third one in a really long time. I can't remember how different it was. The first one's amazing, though.
It's so good.
I can watch it whenever.
They have such a – both the first one and the second one have such a cliffhanger ending. You're like, dang it, now I got to watch the next one.
Yeah. No, they're good movies. He mentioned Letterkenny. I have not seen that show, but I've definitely heard about it a lot.
I haven't seen it either, but I have heard that it's really funny, and I've heard a lot of references from it.
I've seen a lot of references from it. Twiggly saying Mrs. Doubtfire and Ace Ventura are some of her favorites.
Both those are very good.
Both classics. I do feel like I could go down a, what would you call it? I guess like a 90s classic journey, you know, get into the Jim Carrey classics, you know, because how many times do you think we watched Dumb and Dumber when we were in high school?
So many times.
A lot of times. But yeah, there's a lot of goofy stuff. And yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire was amazing too.
And he mentioned Trolls too. We started watching that as the, you know, with the family, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't even get through it. The first like 10 minutes was just one long song. And I'm not exaggerating that it was almost like 10 minutes of no plot, just singing. I'm like, where's the freaking movie? This is just a giant.
That's the secret. That is the movie.
I couldn't do it. Maybe it gets better. Maybe it's amazing. I don't know. We didn't give it the time of the day. So maybe we'll go back to it one day.
Is that the one that has the McElroys in it?
Yes.
And you couldn't even get to the McElroys?
I couldn't. I think it's somewhere near the end, and they have like,
A half a line. Yeah.
Each.
It's not like, it's not anything.
I think they're like a talking building or something from what I hear.
That sounds about right. But yeah, thanks for calling in, Keith. We really appreciate it. And yeah, it's always good to hear about a bunch of random stuff you can watch when we all have more free time to watch random stuff.
So Vlado, being much smarter than I am, his sounds smarter than button harp. He has key harp. That sounds better. Ooh,
yeah, that does. That adds the classy edge to it.
That's the so the button harp will be the keyboard, and the key harp will
be. Or it can mean it be like the piano. The colloquial southern version is like the button fiddle, and you just like go reel off the rails
the
with it.
The button fiddle. That sounds like a different thing.
It sounds like, yeah, I won't riff on that. You know what it sounds like. It sounds like something.
Oh, man. So I saw something. I don't know how we ended up getting it. We need a jingle for our algae beat. Because apparently every week we're talking about algae again. But I couldn't help it.
Seems that way. It seems like more often.
This is such a good discovery. And you have to find the pictures. You have to click on the link in the show notes because the pictures are amazing. This is from Atlas Obscura.
Hey, stop stealing my source.
I did steal your source. This is about dazzling luminescence in the waves of California, and these pictures are stunning because we've been in bioluminescent algae, and it's awesome. It's really cool.
It was a serious experience.
Yeah. So we've talked about this in the Wayback Machine, you know, a long time ago when we first started the show. Me and Zach went to high school together, and we went on a senior trip to Jamaica, and there's a pond out there that has bioluminescent algae, and we got to swim in it at night, and it was crazy.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
It was pretty mind-blowing. But apparently in California right now, they're having one of the biggest blooms of this bioluminescent algae they've ever had.
Oh, okay.
And so people are going out like late at night or early in the morning and surfing and stuff. And
that sounds tight.
I know.
I'm waiting for those GoPro videos to come out. They're going to be good.
Mother Nature has provided a radical gift to nighttime beachgoers in Southern California in the form of bioluminescent waves that crash and froth with an otherworldly light. The event occurs every few years along the coast of Southern California, though locals say this year's sea sparkle is especially vibrant, possibly related to historic rains that soaked the region and generated algae bloom. Hmm. And they talk a lot in this article about they call it red tide, but red tide here is like a bad thing.
You know what I'm starting to figure out? I think they're just calling algae blooms on the coast red tide.
Really?
Because
that's what I was wondering. Because here, that's always bad.
It wasn't red algae, I don't think, that like caused red tide. You see what I mean? It was like the blue green, like cyanobacteria. We know too much about algae. We're not going to go there. But I think the red tide has become like a catch-all term for an algae bloom on like the coast.
But they've got really cool pictures. They've got, and they were talking about how like you can see like fish in the water. You can see like dolphins.
Oh, swimming. Because
they're like, they're glow in the dark.
Yeah.
Wherever they're at, you can see them because they're just, it's just so cool. I love bioluminescent algae.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. We would tell you our genius invention we're going to try and make, but we don't want to put that out there in the world because we're going to make it.
Yeah, so I there's some quotes in here, some people going out there surfing. My favorite part was paddling out. It was almost like there was a glow stick around your hand, he describes. My board left a bioluminescent wake. There were a few others of us out there, and everyone was giggling. Grown men shouting, "This is so cool," and splashing around like kids in a bathtub.
That is exactly our experience. And actually, we had Twiggly ask, "What is red tide?" So in Florida, this was a huge thing for us last year. It usually comes down to runoff, which is probably why they're saying that was rain based, you know, because you have runoff that takes fertilizers off of the land and into the water. And all algae is a microscopic plant. And I mean, I'll get yelled at by scientists, but that's, to make it simple, that's what it is. And so once it has all of those things, all those nutrients that were on the grass, and they get a bunch of it in the water, they explode in population. Mm-hmm. And some of the types of algae are harmful to humans and dogs, especially like those, a lot of the red tide blooms, especially that we had in Florida, it's very, very toxic to dogs.
We've gone to the beach during a very heavy red tide bloom. First of all, it kills fish pretty bad. So you'll see dead fish all along the shore, which is gross and it stinks and it's no good. No bueno. But also it puts out something that makes your eyes burn.
Yeah.
And your nose.
Hurt. No, it causes asthma. The one in South Florida, crazy. I think, was causing really bad asthma attacks. So yeah, if you have the wrong kind of algae bloom like that, and literally we saw video and pictures of, you can see some of these algae blooms from satellites. They're so large that you can see it from there. And so if they're putting out harmful toxins of any kind, it's at a very high scale and it can cause real problems. So this sounds like the best algae bloom I've ever heard of.
Yeah. I think that this is pictures from space of an algae bloom, bioluminescent algae bloom.
That it looks accurate because that's what they looked like.
Because this is from the ocean and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it looks like a painting. It's amazing.
So yeah, that was one of my discoveries this week. More algae.
More algae.
More algae.
We're always discovering more about algae, but it's very diverse.
Algae is very diverse.
Okay, so this week I discovered Ron Finley, who...
Ron Finley?
Yes. I told him Ron Finley to put on the list of topics, and that's his impression he did. Ron Finley is from South Central LA, and his nickname is the Gangster Gardener. And I found this one kind of funny. Have you ever been watching YouTube and you get one of those masterclass videos popping up?
Yes.
It was his masterclass. So Ron Finley does a masterclass, but he started talking... And he got me because he was talking about essentially just like gardening and making compost. And then he mentioned guerrilla gardening.
Guerrilla gardening.
And he started talking about all this stuff. I was like,
is that where you garden with gorillas?
Yeah. It's just you grow gorillas in your backyard.
Oh, I didn't know you could grow.
Yeah.
Like
I mean,
that.
That's all it is. It's pretty simple, actually, when you break it down. No, but I looked him up and he is a really awesome guy. So he started out with an LA-based fashion line that ended up being very popular with professional line? Athletes.
Hmm.
But then in 2010, he took what I think they call them raceways, or I can't remember. I'll see if I can find it. Parkways. So the distance between the sidewalk to the street in LA is called the parkway. And so what he did is he planted a garden in front of his, and he essentially just tried to make a food forest on a small piece of land. And he ended up getting in trouble with the police because I think the city owns any parkways. I don't think it's something that you're supposed to be able to just do whatever you want to with, but he did. And then I also found that he had a TED Talk. where he talks about guerrilla gardening is what he calls it.
But I thought that as long as you paid taxes, you own anything the government owns. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, it's why we all own the library, and you can go in there and be like, give me a steak, and they will. No, you can't. Like, no, they... I, and
that sounds like the awesomest library ever.
Yeah, I mean, have you not gone to the steak library? It's sick. You just rent it. You have to give it back, but it's nice way you have it. So his entire premise is in South Central LA, there is health problems and there is no ability to get fresh produce. And he thinks that that's causing like generational health problems. And like he says, like you can see like new dialysis places popping up all the time. And like people are hawking used rascals and stuff. There's like used rascal dealerships just because everybody's getting more and more unhealthy. And he was talking about his neighborhood specifically in most of this. But his premise is if you make more food available, then people, you can start to change the patterns there. And so he literally just started taking essentially like the curb between the sidewalk and the road and planting food forests all over the place. He would go and just put a garden there and anybody could go get food from it. It was just open use garden. And somebody reported him or he got in trouble somehow because you're not supposed to just do whatever you want there. And they're probably trying to avoid setting a precedent of like, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But at some point, you have to use like common sense, and like it's not like he's doing something destructive. He's doing something extremely beneficial, and he ended up getting some people like on his side. And obviously, like culturally and like for general people in social media, they're going to be very on board for
this.
Yeah, yeah. But he essentially talked about if you look at just the parkways in his area in LA, it is like 10 central parks that you could plant food on. That is literally unused and a lot of times like patches of dirt. And so his entire premise is go put a garden where you want. Go just do that.
Okay, so I was kidding earlier, but now I know what you mean by gorilla farming.
Yeah, it wasn't an actual gorilla.
That's actually really cool. It's like, dude, this is, I don't know, this is a, it's like, he's like the plant Banksy.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. He's an awesome person. Like, so, okay.
What's his signature? Is it like a...
what do you mean?
Like he'll have a bunch of cucumbers and just one eggplant plant. That's his thing? You gotta... He'll plant a bunch of... Then there's one eggplant plant.
And that's his, I haven't that's heard his signature. That, but it could be his signature.
So that's how you know it's him.
Oh, you're saying like he was Banksy. Yeah, so that's he has his a signature. Okay. No, he's not... You know who he is. Like you can look him up.
You got to be more
secret.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to just be like Johnny Appleseed but without knowing who his name is. Giant nobody seed. But he's basically just a really cool guy that he has the premise of essentially basically I'm going to link this TED Talk in the show notes because it's awesome hearing him kind of talk about this stuff. And I also love the cuz if he was on the D&D kind of chart, I would say this is chaotic good.
Yeah,
because he's not really playing every rule straight mm-hmm. because he's doing what, but he's a good guy. And so he's really interesting, and I suggest everybody check him out. And yeah, this all came from a masterclass ad, so I was like, I'll take it.
What are you learning from his masterclass? Does it say?
Gardening. I
mean, okay, makes sense. I didn't get to show you my garden when you got here.
Nope. Well, the last discovery of the week is our band of the week. And these guys are from Seattle, Washington. I talked to them a little bit ago. They just put out a new record. I found them before. I don't even think they were dropping singles for this record yet. And I immediately liked their style of music. They've done some live stuff. They're really fun guys to talk to. I did an episode of Creators Cove with them. And their new album is called This Front Room. And the song I'm going to recommend is Day Drunk, because I think it's something that in quarantine we all understand.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, but I don't either. I'm making that up. Mm-hmm. I was basically saying it's trying to be relatable. No, but if you have any discoveries this week, we have the Podcast Discovery Club, where we just post all of our discoveries and everybody else in there too. It's a really great community, and we're learning all kinds of new stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Twitter that
all the twits
we put our shows out on, and we'll know when we're going live.
I will say, we have so many tweets. Like, we do lots of tweets. I saw that the other day.
Yeah, we do lots of tweetings.
A lot of the tweetings. We do a lot of the tweetings.
A lot of bonus discoveries. Stuff that's too short maybe for us to talk about, or maybe we just didn't want to try and stretch it into a topic like we've done many times before.
I am proud of our socials because we put a lot of effort into them. It's not just, hey, we got a new show out.
Yeah.
Listen to this. No, we put a lot of other stuff out there. We want to continue the discussion and make the discoveries go on throughout the week. So, yeah. Follow us on all of those things, learn some new stuff, and tell us about the things that you've learned.
And then, yeah, we have a Twitch channel.
We do. We've started to play some more video games together, and we're getting a pretty good schedule. So did you land on your day yet?
I mean, last week I did Sunday, and it was terrible. I had a bad time.
He picked a game he'd never played before.
That was a mistake. I would recommend not doing that unless you like are really sure it's going to be easy.
And I did Wednesday night, so I think maybe Sunday, Wednesday, and of course Fridays when we do this. Mm-hmm. I did something that I had thought about doing, and I didn't know if it was going to be really good or real bad. There was a fine line as to how it was going to turn out. But I, instead of playing music, I listened to an old episode, the oldest episode that we have on Spotify of the Podcast Discovery Show. And did some commentary on it, mainly because I forgot what we talked about by then, because this was in early 2017, probably recorded in late 2016, and it was fun. It was an interesting discussion, and it was fun to relive those things in my brain, because there's a lot of things you forget. There's something about recording a podcast that immediately after you record it, you completely forget about what you talked about.
100%, and it's mostly because obviously, if anybody actually thought we were scripted, we would have to be genius actors to be this, I don't know, to be this incompetent at reading a script. It would be next level acting, office level acting of just awkward for a very direct reason.
Yeah.
But no, it's not scripted, so I don't always even remember like what everybody was talking about.
Yeah.
So we're basically just having a conversation, and we want you to be a part of the conversation, so we have a bunch of ways for you to get in touch, and we hope that you do. And without anything else, this is Day Drunk by Rakoma. Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys. See you next week. More look away. No, it's more than I've opted for. Who am I to say this time? I'm out of my goddamn mind. Taking shit for granted again. I'm not the same this time. I'm losing my goddamn mind. Sweet on it now. I'm just trying to be a better man. I'm done fucking with you. Again.